This is Pastor Bill with Brother Robbie May, and I'm so thrilled that he's with me here. Robbie is in, you were to have me sum it up, he teaches science here at Berean Baptist Academy, but could you tell us what you teach, brother?
Yes, I teach 8th grade earth science, 9th grade physical science, and then high school chemistry and physics. I have taught biology, but that'll be next year, so...
Well, I'm glad you're here, and I wanted I asked Robbie to chow down and come and spend some time with me while he's away from the kiddos for a few minutes on an article from the LA Times posted on February the 1st called Fall 24 Miles to Earth with Felix Baumgartner in New Space Jump Video. Now, this is a video that's been produced. The jump actually took place about 14 months ago, October 2012. And, well, more like 15 months. And we did a podcast on it back then, but I wanted to revisit it and get a true scientist's perspective on what this is like to fall to Earth from 24 miles up in the stratosphere. Only Felix Baumgartner knows for sure, but a new video takes you along for his record-breaking ride. What did you think of that video?
It was, it's one of those videos that takes your breath away. And I've been to places like the Grand Canyon, Niagara Falls. I've seen some of the sights of the world where it takes your breath away. And for it to give an inkling of that from the video, seeing the curvature of the Earth, seeing darkness of the space night sky while looking down towards the Earth and it being day there, it's just one of those things that, oh, to have been there. In that weather balloon-like setup that he was in,
I wonder if he thought that there was a chance he would die doing what he was doing.
Oh, I don't doubt it for a second. His vitals before the jump and his vitals at the first minute to 2.5 minutes of the jump were enough to kill a person if they weren't in the right physical state.
Hmm. I was kind of thinking about all the funny videos I've seen where they've got some ride-along in the back of a fighter jet, and they go around a curve, and what do they call it, the absorption of G-forces, put them in an unconscious state. Is that something like what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
Not just that, but the mere nervousness. I mean, in the video, the guy is in a capsule attached to a weather balloon-like apparatus. He's 24 miles off the surface of southwestern United States. The U.S., and the mission control down on solid ground, which I like, they tell him, you know, to undo his little seatbelt latch. They tell him to step out on the ledge.
And duck.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. Don't hit your head.
Yeah, and just looking at that, and he says what he sees, and then you hear the mission controllers start listing some of his vitals, his heart rate's almost double. So you know he's afraid. Hmm. Anybody with a sense, even the adventure seekers, have a real fear of death.
Yeah.
But yet that adrenaline high that you can get addicted to, I'm sure is kicked in with a guy like this.
And then you talk about mission control. The guy talking is Joe Kittinger, a guy who jumped from, 8.5? Oh, good heavens. That's just over 20 miles. Is that 19 miles?
19 and a half miles.
Yeah, and he did it, good heavens, 1960. And he was serving as the mission control link, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty awesome. So I thought it was interesting. What did you think about his words where he said, sometimes you have to be up here to know how small you are? Do you remember seeing that in the video that's posted as long on, it's also on Sermon Audio, on the video is actually posted on the sermon audio link. Do you remember that when he says, when you're up here, you just feel so small?
Yeah, I did. I highlighted that. Because I don't know his biography. I don't know if Mr. Felix here is a Christian or not, if he's a believer in Jesus Christ or not. But whether he is or not, he's already started to give assent that, and I am small, I am insignificant, I am nothing.
Yeah, that's an amazing amount of... I don't know how you could be comforted thinking that there's no God in such a situation. I want to know that there's a God that's bigger than the vastness I'm staring at and feeling so minuscule in. Yeah. So this Austrian skydiver steps off the narrow porch of an experimental capsule hovering 127,852 feet over New Mexico and became the first free-falling person to break the sound barrier. Instruments recorded his top speed at over 800 miles an hour, which is 125% faster than the speed of sound. So 1.25 times faster than the speed of sound. So he talks about his Red Bull endorser, his Sage Cheshire Incorporated endorser, his GoPro Hero 2 camera endorser. There are seven cameras on the guy. Pretty awesome to see some of those views that weren't available. What else was going through your mind when you saw that video?
Well, just going back to the initial part of the video where he's, I guess the verb would be scooch. He's scooching on his backside out of this capsule.
Oh, my goodness.
Pulling up on the handlebars. And you can see from one of the seven cameras mounted on him, and that there's several cameras on the capsule as well, you can see, and the article talks about this, that as Felix descended on from the capsule back onto Earth, that Earth's horizon goes from curved to flat. And you can see that at the beginning of the video. You can see the curvature of the Earth from as high as he was. You can see the darkness of space as contrasted with the brightness of our atmosphere that traps light from the sun, and the brightness of the light hitting Earth's surface and bouncing back up. You can see all that, and multiple of the Psalms and multiple verses from multiple Psalms just kept just jumping up into my mind and just thinking how great thou art, you know, even hymns.
Yeah, do you have one written down there? Do you have one noted? I think you mentioned you had some scriptures noted. While you're finding one, I'd like to think about Isaiah 40. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him? He that is so impoverished that he has no oblation chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks unto him a cunning workman. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told unto you? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Listen to this. It is he that sits upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in. Is that one of them you have written down, Isaiah 40?
I do not.
Okay, I was thinking how that's interesting that the prophet 700 years before Jesus is talking about the circle of the earth. I've heard some people say that it's talking actually about the spherical shape. I've heard some people talk that it's the orbit. What do you take that to mean?
You could take it either way.
Either way, okay. So the circuit of its travel.
It's a prophecy.
Yeah.
So it's not like we have a definition on that.
No, and I thought it was interesting that he's saying that the inhabitants are like, he says that the islands and the nations are like a drop in the bucket. The inhabitants are grasshoppers, and he stretches out the heavens as a curtain. And I was thinking, you know, I think it's 12 times in the book of Isaiah and Zechariah the Lord is described as the one who spreads out the heavens. And about, you know, the other night in that debate, Bill Nye kept talking about how was it Hubble that discovered that the heavens were spreading out?
Yeah, I got to think. Accelerating.
Accelerating. I mean, he's like 3,000 years behind the prophet Isaiah. 2,700 years behind. He could have read this and found out, yes, the heavens are spreading out.
Yes.
Very strange. So what else did you see in the article that jumped out at you you'd like to mention for the listener?
And this goes back to Psalms, the book of Psalms, specifically Psalm 39.
Okay.
Which, Psalm 39, Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16, just some phrases from it. The psalmist writes, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous are thy works. My substance was not hid from thee. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned. I just thought about how mechanically sound the human body is to adapt not just to an environment, but even to an extreme situation and a time that adjustments need to be made. That no machine can make those sort of adaptations and adjustments that the human body can, because he begins to spin, dangerously spin. in the first minute. Mm-hmm. And that spin, as you were talking about in a fighter jet, can cause unconsciousness. And he doesn't, we don't think he goes unconscious. I don't detect that from the video or the article, but he gets close to it because he makes he says two things into his head mic that cannot be discerned what he says, but then he does become coherent, and he says, I was in a violent spin, and I felt like I was going to pass out, so as he got close to fainting and passing out, he was trying to say something, maybe help, I'm not sure. But then later on, when he pulls his parachute at 8,000 feet, he gets 3.25 times the force of gravity exerted on his body.
Wow.
And yet, his bones withstand that. His muscles, even after all that stress and fear, basically his vitals show that of fear, was able to pull it together enough on a human level to pull his chute cord. Just so many things go to show that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by a creator God. We could do those things.
Now, could you tell the listener why it is that the heart speeds up when it senses stress? First of all, how does it sense stress? What makes the heart speed up?
Well, okay, it's a very complicated answer. Let me see. You've got, for people who have the ability to see, mm-hmm. you see things. Like, you're walking in the forest and you see a mountain lion in front of you. That's going to trigger things in your brain to trigger your adrenal glands situated at the top of your kidneys to start secreting large amounts of adrenaline to either ways give you near superhuman speed to run away or superhuman strength to fight the animal for you to survive. So one thing I sense is his heart starts pumping, and it's to get as he's standing on the ledge of the capsule, his heart starts pumping faster because his eyes, his brain, he's interpreting that he sees the curvature of the earth. He sees and now gets a sense of, wow, 24 miles away from Earth's surface looks like this, and I've never seen that before. Standing on the ledge of a capsule I can just simply jump out of.
Wasn't that amazing to watch him disappear from that platform?
I don't know if it was slow motion or not. I don't know if the video was real time or not, but it was just, it looked like he just leaned forward and let the Earth's gravity pull him in. But it just...
All right, so you've told us basically the heart sped up because his eyes told him there was danger he needed to escape.
That kind of thing. Fight or flight.
Okay. Well, all right, so I see here that 30 seconds into his jump, it says he broke through the sound barrier. Now... can you dispel a myth or confirm the truth that would make a sound, a boom? What needs to happen for a sonic boom to take place? Have you heard of that? When an airplane flies at the speed of sound, it actually produces a sonic boom. Would we have expected that with a free-falling human being in a suit?
Not too certain on. I just know that when we say the speed of sound, we're saying how fast sound would travel, meaning that with Felix traveling faster than the speed of sound from point X to point Y, if he would have said something at point X and we are at point Y, he would have reached us before the sound waves of what he said at point X reached us at point Y.
Which is amazing.
Which is absolutely amazing.
Now, I've seen that demonstrated kind of like at a ball game. When they'll have a flyover at the end of a national anthem,
yes.
And the planes will be way past us, and the sound is right over us.
Yes.
I've noticed that.
Yes, and I do it every time I hear noise up in the sky. I try and find it and figure out which way it's going, and then I trace backwards through the sky of what I hear, or forwards through the sky of what I'm hearing and where it's going to find out where the cause of the noise is coming from.
Yeah. Isn't it true that thunder is an evidence that there's lightning somewhere, or is it the other way around? Or is it, are they just, they're simultaneous, and so one is the evidence of the other?
You will see lightning before you hear the thunder it produces.
Okay.
Thunder is produced by the flash of lightning superheating oxygen, just the amount of energy exchange and heat created has to go somewhere, and it creates ripples in the air particles. Okay. And that's all sound is.
Okay.
Is waves of air particles hitting your eardrum, being converted into, well, that's the voice of my best friend, that's the sound of a dog barking.
I see.
They're all just variations of the air particles moving from vocal cords vibrating, reeds vibrating on an instrument, and yet it vibrating the air, which vibrates your eardrum and is transmitted into your brain as, okay, I'm listening to the oboe play in an orchestra.
Okay. Now let's talk about what you cited from the article about 3.27 times the force of gravity being measured on this man's body at 8,000 feet. What would have happened if they would have waited until about 4,000 feet to deploy the parachute?
Another pretty in-depth physics question. I don't have the exact...
Is the air thicker? Closer to the Earth's surface?
Yes, that is...
So there'd be more drag on the parachute, I'm guessing, more of a
jerk, probably.
Might have killed him.
Possibly, if not kill him, maybe broken bones. Human bones, though we would look at the human skeleton and say it's rigid, bones can bend before they break. Hmm. So I'm not saying his bones would break, but the closer he gets to Earth, not just is the air thicker, but gravity is stronger.
Well, that's true.
The closer you get to the center of the object that's producing the gravity.
So two problems there with deploying lower.
Lower, okay. Right.
Because I remember I did a tandem jump once with the Golden Knights when I was an active duty soldier. I took my squad with me on a day, and we just jumped to the Golden Knights. And we jumped from 13,500 feet and deployed the parachute at 3,000 feet. And I thought, I mean, it was an experience when that parachute opened. After falling for 54 seconds from 13,500 to 3,000, we fell for 54 seconds. Parachute was deployed, and I really, the wind was squeezed right out of my lungs. It was really something.
Which is why both Kittinger and Baumgartner both had special pressurized suits.
Okay.
Not just for the altitude that they were at, but also for when they pulled their chute, just to help not get a blood rush to the brain and then pass out again in that situation, both situations of jumping from so high.
We shared with Psalm 39, right?
Right.
And is there anything else you wanted to mention from the article from a scientific perspective while I have you in here that you thought was interesting that you'd like to talk about in closing? Is there any other scriptures you had in mind? You cited a few psalms.
Yeah, I just go back to what we started with, where Baumgartner says, sometimes you have to be really high up to understand how small you are. And I mentioned, I don't know whether he's a believer or not, but Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4 says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars that thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him. I just think he got to see a view of Earth, a perspective of Earth that not many people get to see. The more I teach physics and physical science and get to study Earth and space science and get to teach our students here at the Academy about the expanses of the heaven, and then to study biology and back to Earth science, the depths that the oceans get to, and the life that's down there, and the life that's in the depths of the jungle. You see God's handiwork, and you stand in awe of it. And whether he's a Christian or not, he stood in awe of God's creation.
Amen.
It echoed to him, whether he will admit it now or not. Eventually, he will have to say that God created it. Now or later, he'll have to.
Okay, so you've heard from Psalm 8, you've heard from Psalm 39, you've heard some scientific perspective from what I would consider to be a master in science. I appreciate my good friend Robbie May being here, an instructor, a teacher here at Berean Baptist Academy, junior high school. And Brother Robbie, thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come be with us. This is Pastor Bill. Leave your comments directly on this recording or send me an email at bsturm.bbc@gmail.com.